A big hello, because I've been away for quite a while. And the truth is that I just touched down this morning at 9 a.m. after a long flight. So forgive me if halfway I didn't sound coherent or I'm just talking nonsense. You know that it's the time zone that's kicking in, right? So before we start, let's commit this to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we just want to thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for those who are present here today. Lord, despite all the time zone differences in the tiredness, Lord, I just pray that your spirit will continue to work through me, even if you have a word for us today. Lord, I just want to thank you. We commit this even into your hand. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Good. So today's message is actually pretty interesting. As we study the identity, who we are, identity in Christ, the topic today is about courage. And courage is something that's easy, right? Most of you understand what courage is all about. You watch a lot of movies, you see all the superheroes doing all the courageous stuff, and things as such. It's something that I think I can finish it in 5 minutes, and you understand what courage is all about. Easy, right? But I think before we go into that, I thought maybe the way we should look at courage, if we look from God's perspective and look at God's word, and what does the Bible say about courage? And I would like to bring your attention to 2 Timothy 1:7. I found this translation from the Common English Bible quite interesting. So I usually read the New King James Version. I'm an old man. I like the New King James Version. But I particularly like this translation. It says here, 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God didn't give us a spirit that is timid. Okay? So it's not timid, which means it's of courage. So God do not give us a spirit of being timid. God actually give us a spirit of courage. But there's one that is powerful, loving, and self-control. So God give us a spirit of courage that is powerful, that's loving, and is also self-control. So essentially, if what I think the definition of courage is basically power plus love plus self-control. These are the three elements of being courageous. And if we're going to break down all these three elements, if we're going to start with first one, power. Power is easy to understand. Power, right? Power, which means that you have dominion over something or have control over it. And power is an image that you can relate to. You can think of someone who is very powerful, someone who has control over everything. And the way that God has applied to us, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, it's very clear in day 1 that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So very simple, on day one, when God created us in his likeness and in his image, God basically says that I'm giving you the authority and the power to have dominion over everything that he has created. And think about it, that is something that's very powerful, which means that if today there's a lion in front of you, instead of running away, you actually have dominion over and control the lion or serpent in front of you. And that's what God intended for us before the fall of mankind. God essentially wants to give us that authority and the power. And that's in the book of Genesis, right? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities and the power of Christ that may rest upon me. So again, Paul was talking about, regardless of our weakness, God has given such power and authority that we can boast in the power of Christ. So that is what powerful is all about. In fact, I like the last one is at 1 Peter 5:3. While God has given us such wonderful authority, such power and dominion over everything they have created, but there's also a warning that attached to it. That is, it says here that, nor as being lord over those entrusted to you, but be an example to the flock. So the word of the Lord basically says that while giving you great authority and great power, please do not abuse it. Whoever God has entrusted to you, you shall not abuse that. And not only that, you are supposed to be an example to the flock. So instead of abusing your people, your subordinate, or your children, you are supposed to set as a good example. Being a powerful authority does not mean that you can abuse it. So power is interesting. Is put it aside, you understand what power is all about. And the next thing we're going to talk about is love. The second component of of love, of courage is essentially love. And what is love? Love essentially is an act of altruism. What does that mean? Very cheap. I read up station dictionary, right? Altruism means that a selfless regard for other people. So if anything, you always think of someone else more important than you, even there is a conflict of interest within you, you put someone else's interest above you. And talking about benevolence, benevolence means being kind, being nice to people, right? So that is basically the thing about what love is all about. If you love someone, you always want the best for the somebody. So that's what I mean by altruism. You put a selfless concern for other people, right? And in the Bible, there are many, many scriptures that talk about love. So you go to John 15, verse 12 to 13. It says here, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no other one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." So if you're willing to lay down your life for your friend, there's no greater love than that. And if anyone has illustrated that, it's Christ himself. That he laid down his life for all of us who are yet sinners and died for us. And there's no greater love than that. So basically, talk about you just have very little regard for yourself, but you think about the well-being of someone else. Okay? And then if you, there's more other scriptures that talk about 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So again, in love, there's no fear. If you are loving someone, you never worry about the consequence. You only want to do the best for the person. Sounds pretty courageous, right? Think about it. So you think about the definition of courage, the power and the authority to do something, and you overlay that with love, and that is part and parcel of what courageous means. The last one is an interesting one. The last component of courage, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, is self-control. What does self-control mean? If you go to Proverbs 16:32, I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, right? In Proverbs 16:32, it says here that he who is slow to anger is better than the Almighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So the word of the Lord says that whoever is slow to anger is much better than one who is powerful and mighty. Okay, so it means that even you possess all the power and the love that you have, you must have that self-control within you. If you see something happen, does not mean that you need to act immediately. Or you see something unjust, don't get angry quickly, because that's what the word of the Lord says. In fact, you go on to Romans 12, 19. He said, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself." You are not an avenger, my friend. If you see something wrong, don't go and put your Iron Man suit or Spider-Man suit and try to right the wrong. Because the word of the Lord says here that do not avenge yourself, but rather give praise to wrath, for it is written. The God's word says that it's written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. So Lord say, the word of the Lord says that it's none of your business to seek revenge. If there's anyone who's going to exact revenge, leave it to me. I am the God Almighty. I will decide whether I want to avenge that. So again, it talks about ability to rein your anger if you see something that's not right, and learn how to submit to the Lord, knowing that the Lord says that the vengeance belongs to him. If the Bible, please turn with me to Matthew 26, verse 52 to 54. And this is classic. You know what happened at the garden when Christ was being confronted with all the Roman soldiers when they're supposed to capture him, right? And it says here, and Jesus said to Peter, he said, remember Peter? He pulled out his sword and then cut off one of the servant's ear, right? And what Christ messaged to him is that, Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who will take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legion of angels?" So Christ was telling Peter, put away your sword. If I'm the God Almighty, you think I can't call my Father? He'll send me the whole legion of avengers to come and save me. Why are you so capable and do what you're doing, right? Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father? And how then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen to us? So the message of the Lord to Peter is that stop what you're doing, slow to anger, be cool and calm, because whatever is going to happen, the scripture shall be fulfilled. Christ was very clear in his mind, there's certain thing is going to happen and let it be. And it's not for Peter to do what he have to do, right? So, and this is something that I think Peter, throughout his whole life, he had this problem with self-control, you know that. Mr. Big Mouth guy, right? Whenever something happened, the first thing that shoot out his mouth. So he literally had problem with self-control. In fact, you go to Ephesians 4, 26. Say, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So it's just a husband and wife. If you quarrel in the daytime, please go and reconcile. Do not let the sun set on your wrath, right? So now we just want to recap. Courage is power, it's love, it's about self-control. But you put all three things together, somehow you feel a bit conflicting, right? Because you have the ability or the power, you love someone, you want to do something, and yet the word of the Lord says that you need to control yourself. But does that mean that self-control means not doing anything? Think about it. If really we're just going to do all these things and say don't slow to wrath and all this, slow to wrath does not mean that you do not get angry. Slow, which means take your time. Take your time means what? Take your time means that you seek God. What is God's timing? What God really want to do? If there's time for you to act, you act. Self-control means that there are time for you to apply brake. Don't go all full speed out. But there are time the Lord says that you go all full speed out, go, do it. But unless and until you learn how to do that, don't seek vengeance, because that's what the Lord says. In fact, if you look at self-control as an element, self-control is actually an empowerment. If you someone who is able to have self-control within you, you are empowering yourself to prepare for the right outcome. Comprendo? I hope I'm talking sense. I'm feeling the time zone kick in now. It means that you have the ability to control yourself and wait for the time and make sure that the outcome is correct. You do not act in the rush. There are time for you to act, you act. And that's what courage is all about. Courage means that I have the ability to do something. And the reason I want to do something is out of love. It's not out of my self-interest. It's for someone that I want to help. And last but not least, I have the ability to control my emotion, my anger, and pick the right time to do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. So we've gone through the so-called the definition of courage. And you look at what courage means most of the time. When do you need courage? I mean, when the peacetime, nothing happened, everything hunky-dory, no threat in your life, of course you don't need courage, right? But courage usually is required when there is a presence of fear. When there's fear, something is going to happen, you know that. Courage is usually found on the other side of the felt fear. Right? When you're being threatened or someone being threatened, and that's when courage is required. If there's nothing happened to you, nothing negative that's going to impact you, why do you need courage, right? So that's what happened is that usually it arises from there is clear and present danger. Something is going to happen and there's a felt fear, right? And true fear happens when there's a presence of danger. You know that something is going to happen if you don't do something about it. That is when courage is required. It's just like soldier go to the battlefield, right? You know that enemy is firing. You see all your friends not dying. You know there is a clear and present danger. You see your friend got hit in front of you. Do you have the courage to go out and drag him back behind the line? And because if there's nothing happen, it's all peaceful in the Western Front, you don't need courage. You can just walk up there and do whatever you want to do. So think about it. Courage should usually happen when something is going to happen and you know that there is a real danger. And our response to courage usually is two-way, okay? If you see that something is going to happen, you know that you need to do something. So basically, two options. Option number one, be courageous and do something. Or option number two, you can choose to run. Right? Be a coward. And the reality is that in life, I think the latter applies to a lot of time rather than the former. There are times that we encounter a situation, I think it's always to take the easier way out and take the coward's way out. And the best thing is that when nobody knows, You know there's something you need to do, but you choose not to do anything and just quietly slip away. And that's just being a coward. And let's talk a little bit in terms of what cowardness means, right? The opposition of courage is basically coward, right? And basically what it means is that there is an inability within us to control fear. We talk about courage is required when there's a danger in front of you. You're being fearful of the outcome. And then when you choose to be a coward and not to do anything about it, it basically what it means is that you lose the ability to control your fear. Go back to the very beginning when say that when the Lord given us all dominion over everything they created, and we have Christ in us who given us all the power that we have, we are all created as a very, very powerful being. But yet a powerful being like us, there are times we choose not to act. It's because there's a lack of control over the fear factor. If you go to Proverbs 28:1, it says here, right? The wicked flee when no one pursue. You think about it. Those people who do all the bad thing, every time they see some shadow, very scared. First thing they do, they run. In Chinese, it's called 做贼心虚, right? They see something, they're so fearful. They always think that someone is going to hit them, right? But if you look at the second part of the proverb, it says that, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So you see the contrast. The wicked flee when no one pursue. So a lot of time, the coward, the wicked, they flee because they are scared, they are worried, because they know deep down inside something is wrong. And when you do not have the ability to control that fear, the coward in you will start to surface, even you know that you need to do something right. Sounds familiar? And if there's no better way to look at some of this example, to look at two characters in the Bible, right? You have Joshua on one hand, and then you have King David on the other hand. You know the story of Joshua, right? In fact, in Joshua 10:25, Joshua was so courageous because you see what God has done for Moses. He followed him throughout the whole journey. He see all the God's miracle, and a young man, he come out and said, I want to do something for the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him, and he was encouraged. Not only he was encouraged, he can even tell his truth. He said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and be of good courage. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemy against whom you fight. This speaks of a man who understands the power that's given to him. He has the right courage. He has the love for the people of God. He has the love for God. And he knows that it's a time for him to act. He even tells his people, just go. Because the Lord will do to all your enemy against whom you fight. So he basically tells the people, go out and fight. This is the time to go because the Lord says so. Be bold and courageous because the Lord is with you. So that is Joshua as an example of being a courageous guy. On the flip side of the coin, King David. We are very familiar with this character, right? We always think that King David, great king, courageous guy, he won many battles. But we all know that there's one time in his life he became a coward. And why? You are familiar with the story of King David, Bathsheba, and her husband Uriah. And you know that King David committed adultery when he saw the woman bathing on the rooftop. And after that, he was so worried that he might impregnate her. At the same time, the husband, Uriah, was on the front line fighting the war, right? And then as the husband was coming home, King David got worried. He says that, if the husband finds out this, what is going to happen, right? Sorry, the Uriah was still fighting on the front line. So King David sent someone out to the guy and said, why don't you come back home to accompany your wife? Leave the battle to someone else. But the husband, being a righteous man, said, how can I rest when my soldier is fighting in the trenches? I can't go home and spend time with my wife. So he refused to go home. And this is when David panicked. That is when the fear struck him. He said that, oh my goodness, this thing is going to be exposed because if the husband is fighting on the front line, there's no way on earth the wife is going to get pregnant unless she slept with someone else. And she's so afraid that his thing was being discovered, right? And you all know the story. At the end of the day, King David was so scared. He did the most coward thing in a way that he actually let the husband die in the battlefield. And that is what being a coward means. And you know that it's the fear that he cannot control anymore that make him make such a to conduct such an act. Again, if you look at Joshua and David, I think that is a very clear illustration what being courageous and what being coward mean. But as you think about it, like, come on, in the old day, for a king to sleep with many women is quite common. And for your information, I happened to go to Doha to watch a World Cup, and after that, I took a detour to Egypt. And I was fascinated with the country of Egypt. It's one of the oldest civilizations in the world. I share with my family group. Never in my life I've seen so many burial grounds and tombs in my life. Everywhere you go, you see coffins, you see burial grounds and all these things, right? And you read the accounts of all these pharaoh and king. One a joker, he got 250 children. One guy, 250 children. So King David at his time, being a king, I think over those time, I mean, it's quite common, right? But David know that it's not so much of whether he can have a concubine. It's just like his son Solomon. Solomon has so many concubines. I think it's within the culture, it's quite acceptable. But what is really not acceptable is that David cannot overcome his own conscience. He know that he did something wrong. He did something against the Lord. And because of that, the fear and the sin within him set him in. And that's where the courage of the king cannot come out. And that's why he's being paralyzed by the fear and he acts in a certain way. I'm going to take a pause here, right? A lot of us are marketplace people. A lot of time in your workplace, you come to a situation where you either be a coward or you be the courageous person. And think about the time that you decided to be letting pass and be a coward and not to do anything and reflect upon it that what drives you to do so, even though you know that the spirit within you is telling you you need to act in a certain way. I'm going to leave it there. Think about it. And the next example we can look at is this gentleman called Moses. Again, one of my favorite characters. Not that I'm boasting, I went to Egypt, I see the place where the supposedly baby Moses was found, by the river Nile. And that is Moses, right? He was essentially a Jew. He was picked up by an Egyptian princess and groomed to be a prince of Egypt. And we know that what happened in Exodus 2, 11 to 12. I don't need to read to you. What happened one day when Moses was walking around, he saw some of the Egyptian bullying a Jews, right? And then he saw Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he saw some Egyptian beating a Hebrew guy, which is of the same race as he, right? And then what he did, he looked this way, he looked that way. When he see nobody is looking at, he go and kill the Egyptian and bury him in the sand. So that's Moses for you. Is that a courageous act? You think about it. Why not? He saw his fellow man being bullied. He decided to stand up and take things into his own hand and kill the guy. So this is the part there where the self-control didn't really exist. And also, if you think a little bit more on the background of Moses, right, he probably know that he's not a true Egyptian. Probably even growing up in the palace, he hear whisper and say, this guy is probably a bastard. He's a Hebrew. He's not really a true blue Egyptian. He probably grew in an environment had this inferiority complex, right? So all this anger is just within Moses all this year growing up. Until one day, he saw an Egyptian bullying a fellow so-called Hebrews. I don't think he act out of love. He's probably act out of anger. All this year of being discriminated against. And he said, how dare this Egyptian bully my fellow brothers, right? And then he did the terrible thing. And the Bible was so funny. The Bible was so descriptive. It said he looked left, he looked right. I.e., it kind of tells you someone, if you really are so righteous about it, do you worry about being seen? If I'm the prince of Egypt, am I rightly think that I want to exact justice and vengeance? I'll go ahead and kill it. Or in fact, I can order my men to kill the Egyptian. But Moses decided to take things into his own hand and he acted suspiciously. He looked around, and then he didn't do a courageous thing. He did something that is cowardice, in the sense that he wait until nobody is seeing, then he start doing that. That is Moses for you. But if you look at the second part of his life, what happened in Exodus chapter 3? Remember, after he killed the Egyptian, he was banished to the desert for many years until he had an encounter with God in the burning bush. And there was this very long conversation from chapter 3, verse 1 to verse chapter 4, 14. You can go and read. It's one of the longest conversations. It's a lot of to and fro. And God keeps telling him, go and save your brethren, bring them out of Egypt. Aren't you the one who killed the Egyptian because you want to free the Hebrews? Now is the time to go and do it. And then Mr. Moses, I have no power. I'm just a common man. In fact, at one time he said that I can't even speak properly. And God said, you can't speak? Never mind. I'll send an interpreter for you. But I still want you to go. And again, same character. You can see the transformation. When he was a prince of Egypt, even with the power and authority that he has, but he knows that he's something that he cannot control. He lacked the self-control. He did something very wrong. And subsequently, when he has encountered with God Almighty, he beginning to realize that whatever power, whatever authority, whatever love that he has came from the Lord. Without God's blessing, it's just a Joshua. Joshua will not go into battle without God telling him to do so. Moses beginning to learn his lesson that from being a coward and turning into a courageous man is not going to happen overnight. In fact, even after the encounter, he's still in it all. Until he go to Egypt and God show all miracles upon miracle and the great power of God come through. And that what makes Moses who he is. Even 40 years in the wilderness, he's one of the most courageous leaders you can see in the books of the Bible. But the one thing about Moses is that he still got this self-control problem. Even he have encountered with God. Remember the case when he was so angry, he strike the rock when the water come out, right? And because of that, he don't get into a promised land. So I spend a lot of time talking about courage and power and love is one element, but the self-control part is something that I hope we all understand and appreciate a little bit more. I'm not trying to say if anything happened, if you see something wrong, you say, oh, Silas says self-control. No. Take it easy. Don't do anything in self-control, Silas, until I want to hear God speaks to me, right? I don't think that's exactly what God's message is all about. There are time for you to act, you act. In fact, there are time for you to act even with a dire consequence, you do it. Why? Because in 1 Peter 3, verse 14, it says here that, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. So God say, if you need to do something, if you have to suffer, count it all blessing. And do not be afraid of their threat. So the word of the Lord says that if there are times you felt you're being threatened, there's some time that you need to do something, do not be afraid because you are blessed, nor be troubled. So all this mumbo-jumbo sounds a bit confusing, right? So as I say, with all the power and authority God given to us, you have love for your brother and sister, you will be courageous to do something right. I think the last question that we have is that on self-control, when is the time to act and when is not the right time to act? And I think that is something that requires wisdom, and that's something requires you to always inquire of the Lord. What the Lord want you to do in situation as such, right? And I think a few things that I just want to share. We all know that we are all marketplace people. So a lot of things we want to talk about is actual application and what it means for us in the marketplace. A few points that I just want to establish here. First thing, it's very clear that wherever we work, the Lord always wants us to redeem your workplace. You can be a school teacher, you could be a banker, you could be a lawyer, you could be a clerk. Wherever the Lord put you be, you need to redeem your workplace. What do you mean by redeem your workplace? In today's commercial environment, right, a lot of things is not necessary according to God's value. A lot. You can see things that's happening, you see your people behavior. But if you being a member of that organization, the very first thing the Lord wants you to do is to redeem your workplace. And what do you mean by redeem your workplace? Redeem your workplace, which means that you establish God's principle and value in the place you work, so that whatever the God worldly value is being redeemed to God's standard. So point number one, redemption in the workplace is extremely important. And the second thing is that the word of the Lord wants to give you the confidence to know that as you do that, be so secure in your purpose, because in the book of Joshua 1:4, he says, the Lord tells Joshua, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards and going down to the sun, shall be your territory. So today, the word of the Lord to you is that as you go to your workplace, the word of the Lord says that I establish this territory for you. It's all yours. You just need to have the security and understanding that Lord's principle and value need to be established in the place that you work. And God said that I already mark out the boundary for you. It's not by accident that you happen to work in certain organization at certain time in your life. Of course, you change job. We change up. Some people change more frequent than the rest, right? But whenever the Lord put you to be, you need to first redeem the workplace and hang on to the promise of God, because he said, I've given you very specific purpose. And the third one is most importantly is that be obedient. Be obedient. In the same book of Joshua, basically the word of the Lord says, go be strong and be courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, has commanded you. So whatever the Lord asks you to do, whatever commandment is passed on to you, you just have to obey. And last but not least, be courageous. I like this scripture very well. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of my own experience. I think in my working life, I come across quite a fair bit of situation. I think one of the previous one was pretty bad. In the environment that I work in was pretty toxic. There's a lot of oppression. There's abuse of authority and power. And I, being one of the team lead, I always believe that wherever the Lord put us, I strongly believe I need to redeem the workplace. So some of you all know that I've been starting this office cell wherever I go. And I always tell people, we spend so much time in the office. And if this is a place that we don't honor God, where you want to honor God? And I always believe that regardless of the organization, whatever value, whatever culture, there's only one culture that shall be established. That is God's culture. And that's our job, to establish that culture. So in the place that I worked, it was very bad. But despite all that, I decided to say, God, whatever you praise me, I will do what you want me to do. And I see a lot of injustice. I see a lot of abuse of power and authority. And because I'm one of the team lead, I find it very hard. I always get caught in between this abusive guy and my team members, right? And then somewhere in between, your team member always come to complain to you or say your boss is terrible, blah, 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 blah. Then you say, what do I do? And having worked in that organization for quite a while, I know that whatever I'm going to say, it's not going to turn out well for me. It's tough. And I agonize it for the longest and the longest and the longest time. And I really struggle. So don't look at me, talk big, right? I'm a coward. Because I just don't know what to do. I say, if I do something, I probably get sacked. Because they will not welcome all these things. So struggle for a long time. And day by day, it gets worse. To a certain extent that I think the person has overstepped the line in terms of professionalism. So when one day I was still struggling with all these things that's happening, a very dear sister of mine who happened to be also a colleague within the bank, she just shared with me one verse from Micah 6:8. And please, in the Bible, please turn with me to that, because I think this is going to be an anchor verse for the church next year. It just happened. A few weeks ago, we have a council meeting and Daniel was just sharing about it. I said, there's no better verse that resonates with me than this verse. Micah 6:8 is just so straight down the line and it's so clear. If there's anything, please remember that in your heart. I think this will serve you well. Micah 6:8 says that he has shown you, i.e. God has shown you, oh man, what is good. So God has shown all of us here what is good according to his standard. And what is God's standard about being good? He say, and what does the Lord require of you? Very simple. Very simple. Nothing too complicated. Number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. Number three, to walk humbly with your God. So when that sister gave that verse to me, I was just like, I was almost in tears, right? And it's like, God is as if he's talking to me. He says, Silas, why you think so much? You're worried about this, you're worried about that. You're talking about you want to redeem the workplace. But all that we ask of you is to do justly. What do you mean by do justly? I.e., you do not put your personal emotion into it. It is God justice. Sometimes you see something happen, you're not happy, you get angry about it, right? But you've got to think about it. Is this what God wants to do and how God's going to feel about it? So when the Lord say that do justly, it's not according to our justice. This is God's justice. And at that point in time, I clearly believe that God wants to redeem that specific workplace and there's a justice need to be done. And the second thing is to love mercy. As much as God has mercy on us, you shall have mercy on your enemy. Whoever the person who is abusive and authoritative and who is making life difficult for your team and the rest, the word of the Lord says, you love mercy. Whatever you want to do, please remember that. And last but not least, you walk humbly before your God. Humble yourself before God. Do not let all these things. So, long and short, I do what I have to do. I do what I have to do, right? And the wonderful thing of it all is that even with all that's happening, the Lord has blessed me with a job that is way much better than what I can ever imagine, which is where I am today. So good, Company even sent me to watch World Cup. So good, right? Where to find? So, as I was thinking through all these things, I think if we truly understand what courageous is all about, you talk about first, we all have the power, all of us. There are cases where some people abuse their power, and there are cases of some of us who are so timid that we do not know that we have that power within us to do something. And I think most of us here probably more to the latter case. I look at this bunch of people, all very nice people, very nice, very kind, very good nature. I don't see any abusive people here. But the word of Lord says that do not underestimate that. Regardless of who you are, God has empowered you with the ability to understanding to know what is to do justly. Okay? At the same time, whatever you do it out of love. It's never everything about yourself. If you see something that's wrong, you've got to think about empathize for that person. And last but not least, pick your right time. Pick the right timing to do what is right. Do not let the anger set down on you. Be slow to anger. If you see something wrong, pray about it. Don't get angry about it. I tend to get angry very easily. When I see something wrong, I get very angry. Very fed out. It works me out. I think if anything I got through this journey, the word of the Lord teach me is that learn to self-control. Do not let your anger overtake you. Just because you act and work fast doesn't mean you're courageous. In fact, you're just being stupid and reckless sometimes. Sorry to say that, but that's exactly what happened, right? And in fact, we're talking about being cowards and being courageous. There's also a gray area in between. You know that? When I say that, when courage always happens, when you see a real danger, right? But sometimes people also feel a little bit funny, even there's no real dangers happening. And that's what we call anxiety. Anxiety happens, it's felt in the absence of danger. Sometimes we go and think too much. We worry about things all the time, right? As if that you think there's a danger, but actually there isn't. Nothing's going to go wrong. Life goes on, right? In fact, you go to books of Philippians 4, 6 to 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So sometimes in between courageous and cowards, there's also something that's called being anxious. So a lot of people are just like getting worried about things, worry about whether there's income coming out next month, worry about this, worry about that. That's anxiety, and that is also not right. either you are super courageous or you're timid. Someone in between is just always anxious about everything, right? In fact, we're running out of time. You can go and read about Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Talk about don't worry about the birds in the sky and God will take care of everything else, right? So why worry? Why worry when there's no real clear and present danger? Don't go and imagine dangers in your life. Don't go and worry and think about all the worst outcome. Then you're just being anxious. You're neither courageous or neither are you a coward. You're just an anxious person all the time. So I'm going to skip that quickly and wrap this up. The last slide I want to share with you, I thought was pretty powerful. Martin Luther King, okay, in one of his speeches called Where Do We Go From Here? I thought this speech by him was pretty good. It's kind of sum up what power is all about. He says here, what is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive. Easy to understand, right? So it's just like the guy I talked about in my previous workplace. He has all the power, but there's no love within him. So everything he do is reckless, is abusive. So when you're all the power, you don't use it correctly with love, you're being abusive. But at the same time, love without power is sentimental and anemic. So you have all the love, lovey-dovey, you care for people, but you don't recognize the power within you, then you're just being sentimental. You lack the courage and the power to act on it. So in the absence of power, love is just nothing. And he goes on to say that power at its best is love implementing the demand of justice. So power is the peak of it if you really understand implementing what is required justice. In fact, in the book of Micah 6:8, it talk about to do justly. If the Lord wants you to exercise justice, then let power come true. And justice at its very best is love correcting everything that stands against love. Symptology, right? You think about it, it's not that difficult. What is justice? Justice is when love is correcting the things that are not right, but you do it in the loving way, out of love for God, out of fear of God, out of love for your fellow man. And that is what justice is all about. So, in short, this is what being courageous is all about. Again, just because I come back from Egypt, I need to show off a bit of my knowledge, right? So when we go around Egypt, I went to this place called Luxor. It's a place where it's quite famous for all the past Egyptian king and queen where they are buried. So I visit this temple. I can't even pronounce her name. It's Queen Hatshepsut or something. But essentially, she is Queen Sheba. You know who is Queen Sheba? If you go and read in the Solomon's time, right? Queen Sheba actually come and pay homage to King Solomon because she saw all the power and the great glory that Solomon has. She come and acquire Solomon. What is all this about? And this queen is very unique because in the early part of the Egyptian kingdom, only men can be pharaoh. She is the first female pharaoh during her time. And she ascended to the throne because the kid who is supposed to be king is still young. So a bit like the Chinese, what is it? Shi Xi Tai Ho, like that, right? But the big difference of this queen is that during those days, the Egyptian rule by power. It's all about military might. I went to see all the tomb, I see all the scripture on the wall. It's all talk about power. You talk about worshipping all the god and then the god to control everything else. But Queen Sheba, not only she is humble, she is a woman of courage. She's anti-culture. She basically says that after she sees what Solomon has done, I think she probably go back and she start worrying. She say, this Jew is getting very powerful. And one day they might conquer us. So there is a real danger. She fear for people. But she said the best way for me to encounter them is not by strengthening my military might. In fact, she has such great wisdom that everything she does is to promote the economic well-being of Egyptian then. So she teach them how to plant, how to get food and all this stuff and grow the economy. There's one part I like. There's a banker there. They talk about how the bankers facilitate the flow of economies. And during Queen Sheba's time, it was one of the most prosperous period of the Egyptian history. And it really speaks to me of a woman of great courage. She is a queen. She has the power. She has the love for the people. And she has self-control to refrain that, because people, you can imagine, as the first woman pharaoh, there will be a lot of opposition to her. Everybody wants to tear her down, right? But she had the self-control to rein it in and do the right thing. And then it ushered in one of the most prosperous times of Egyptian history. Bring it to modern day. Queen Elizabeth, who had just passed on, okay? I've been watching The Crown series. Quite impressed with the woman. She's supposed to be head of the church, and she's supposed to hold true to the value. I'm not being critical of her, but if I compare her with Queen Sheba, Sheba has the courage to be anti-culture, whereas Elizabeth hold on to whatever tradition there is, and she refused to move. And throughout her reign, she just always take the neutral line. She never have the courage to implement change, even she see around her, things are collapsing. Her family is gone. The whole UK is in the descent for I don't know how many years. And she just do not. Yeah, she did the right thing and hold on to the value of what the British monarchy is all about. But in the presence of danger, instead of acting like what Queen Sheba has done, she decided to stay put. And I leave it to your judgment. I'm not here to judge, but I'm just looking at the two queens and think about what it means to be really to be courageous. So with that, I'm going to close today because you need to get out of this place pretty soon. I hope to leave with you today the message of being courage. It's not all about acting recklessly and being abusive. And if it's anything that we learn today is that whatever we want to do, first thing remember that we are all empowered. We are made to be very powerful beings because the Lord says so. But with that power, don't abuse it. Anything you want to do is always out of love, out of care, and selfless concern for other people. And the most important thing, the last part, which I think is the most difficult for me especially, is the self-control part. That you learn how to seek God. If there are times God says that, let him take the vengeance, let it be. And you knew it. But there were times that so clear, the Lord said, move, do it. Like Michael, when the message of Michael come to me, I know the Lord tell me that you have to do it. There's no question about it. And the best thing is that I got to live to tell the tale. So God is good. And I hope this will encourage you. Be bold, be courageous, but at the same time, don't be stupid. Thank you. Jasmine?
Shall we stand and let's have a time of worship? Okay, I just want to share as I heard Silas, and I also want to share a verse that spoke to me, that in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 it says that have not I commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. I think the last part is, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I think in the midst of that, we are able to be courageous is there because the Lord is with us. And I think that is the most comforting thing that we can have. So just one last verse in Psalms 27 verse 14. Hang on. Lao hua kuan bo. It says that wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Yeah. Imagine the Lord want us to expect him. Eh? So good, right? Yeah. So I think even as we come into time of worship, if you have things in your heart that you are not sure, but the Lord actually has spoke to you already, but you just am not sure. But I pray that to this evening, right, the Lord would just allow His Holy Spirit to affirm your heart in the decisions that you're going to make. Father, Father, we want to thank you for such wonderful word that brought by Silas. I know that you are speaking to us today. And Lord, your spirit is amongst us, because when two or three gather, you are amongst us. And today, let your peace rule in our heart, the peace that surpasses all understanding rule in our heart, that we may know that wherever we are directed, Lord, you are with us. I pray for all of us that who are holding on to things that the Lord wants you to let go. And today, I pray that, Lord, you will help us be courageous to let you take charge. Let's worship the Lord with this song. And you want to affirm all of us that He is with us.
Yeah.
song says that the Lord sees us through all seasons. Regardless whatever season in your life, there are times the Lord says that be still and seek God. But maybe there's also a time in the season in your life now, the Lord says that I need you to act justly. If anything you want to learn today, that the word of the Lord is to assure you that He will never let you go. Through it all, even as the lyric of the song says so. There are time for us to act, there are time for us to lie low. But if there's time for you to act, just remember that your courage comes from the power that the God has given to you. The courage comes from knowing that the Lord is with you. It's just like Joshua. The courage comes from the love you have for your brothers and your sister. And that great courage, know that it's a time for the Lord for you to act. You just act. And this is what it's all about. So today, if any of you lack courage, I ask that you pray and seek God. Because the Lord that we love will not leave you high and dry. He will see you through it all, regardless of the season. So may that power, may that courage dwell within you. And let nobody tell you that you are powerless, you are timid, you are useless. Because I stand by faith, and the word of the Lord says that we shall have dominion over everything that He has created, every situation that is created. And that the word of the Lord says that you shall be strong and courageous. Go redeem your workplace, redeem your family. If your family is not right, redeem it in the name of the Lord. Establish the kingdom of God in your family and redeem it and claim it. I'm not expecting only the man to do it, even the woman in the household can do it. You can redeem your family. And because it belongs to God. And our God that we serve is loving. The God that we serve is merciful. The God we serve that is understanding. So be courageous and be bold. And may the Lord bless you with the wonderful weeks ahead. Amen.